You're going to need three things tonight. One, you're going to need your Bible. Got your Bibles there? Get that out. Turn to Colossians chapter something, 2. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. So you got your Bibles. Next thing you're going to need is a writing instrument. If you don't have a writing instrument, try and find one, borrow one from somebody around you or something, because I want you to write some things down tonight. And then number 3... you're going to need something to write on. So if you have a notepad, I would suggest even using a flyleaf of your Bible. I think these are some things that you could use in a flyleaf of your Bible. Sounds a little strong on the platform. I don't know if it's strong volume-wise. A little strong out there. Maybe you just back me down just a little, Dave. They're just a smidget. So you got your Bible, Colossians 3:16. You got your pen or pencil, and you got something to write on, either the margin of your Bible. I think I'm still pretty strong there. There you go. Because I want to give you tonight, I want to give you a list of benefits of memorizing Scripture. A list of benefits of memorizing Scripture. The Lord stirred my heart, it's probably last summer, about challenging, not just myself, but challenging the church and leading the church in memorizing verses. We've set a goal of 100 verses to memorize this coming year. We've got a pretty good start. Some folks, you got a couple down. Others are up there into the 10, 15 verses quoted already. We've only been into it a week. And that's pretty good. A week or two, I guess. But that's pretty good. We're going to push this through the year. And the question comes up, why should I bother doing this? Why should I put the time and effort in? Why should I get this in here? Well, there's several reasons. One, we're going to give you a nice little certificate you can hang on the wall if you memorize each section. But the Bible says there are benefits to memorizing Scripture that will help me. And I really sincerely believe that every one of us that really apply ourselves and try and learn these verses, that you will see a very significant growth in your spiritual life. I think you'll see your faith get stronger. I think you'll see God doing things in your life that you wouldn't otherwise. So I believe there are definite benefits. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16 with me. All right, everybody got your Bibles there? Everybody ready? Here we go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And he goes on and says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts the Lord. But notice that first admonition that we're given there. Let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. My message is simply benefits of Scripture memory. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for a good day. And Lord, it's just been a blessing to be around your people and folks that love you and trust you, believe your word. We sing these songs as such a blessing. Lord, you're so good to us, and we just rejoice in that. Lord, we look into your word tonight, and we want to get your word into our hearts and into our lives and our homes. And so help us, Holy Spirit, challenge us from these principles that we're going to look at. Fill me, I pray, with your Holy Spirit as I teach tonight, and speak through me, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. That word dwell there in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. It simply means basically what you would think it would mean. It means to live in a place. It has the idea of being at home, more than just living in a place. It's being at home in a place. How many folks here have ever moved from one house and then you've lived in another house? Of course, most of us have at some point. You know, when you go into a new house, you live there, but sometimes it takes a little while till you're really at home there. You know what I'm talking about? You don't remember where all the cabinets are, and you know, you're just kind of getting a feel for the place, and it's not home yet. Kathy and I have lived in the parsonage now going on 21 years. It's starting to feel like home to us, you know. It's home. We're comfortable there. We can walk in. I can walk. Now, unless she moves the furniture, I can walk in the middle of the night through the dark. I know where everything is. Occasionally, something's moved and you run into it. But that's the idea of this word here, dwell. To not just live in a place, but to be at home in it. I know where things are. I know how to maneuver myself around there. I'm comfortable here. Then it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word richly there simply means abundantly. Flowing over the top. If somebody's rich, you generally think of them having a lot of what? Money. And he says, so let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. Let it fill every corner. Let it just be so filled, your light, heart, and soul so filled, the Word of God, Christ dwelling in you so fully, it's just spilling out, it's just richly. And that's the word picture here. I am making noises. Am I bumping? Let me see if that fixes it. So what he's telling us, my heart and my life is to be so fully saturated with the Word of God. It shouldn't be a stranger in my heart and life. I like Spurgeon. I mentioned that. I just like him as a preacher. I like his ministries that God gave him and used him over there in London years ago. And I like reading them. And I just like Spurgeon. And I tell you, Spurgeon is an example of somebody that the Word of Christ dwelled in him richly. Just talking, the Word of God would come through. In his sentences, there would be scripture portions. It just came naturally. And that's what it's talking about here. Just the Word of God not being a stranger in my life. In other words, God's Word in my heart and mind particularly should dwell there to the point that it's at home. In any situation I find myself in, I know what part of the Word of God to go there. Just like you're at home and you say to your wife, sweetheart, I think I'd like to have fried eggs for breakfast. Well, she doesn't have to root around and try and find where the frying pan is. Where do we put those eggs? Let's see. She knows right where the eggs are. She knows where they're at in the refrigerator. She knows where the frying pan is. She knows where the butter is. She knows where the salt and pepper is. Just don't even have to think about it. It's just you dwell there. You're at home there. You can just go get it. That's the way the Word of God ought to be in our life. In this situation, well, what is God's Word? Well, I know God's Word says this and this and this about it, and this is how to deal with this, and God warns about this, and God promises that, and God instructs here, and it's all right there. It's dwelling in my heart. It's dwelling in my life richly. And I can go to it. I know right where it's at. So here's what will memorizing Scripture do for me personally? If I get to that point where the Word of God is just saturated, my heart and mind is saturated, it's dwelling richly in me, what's that going to do for me? Here, get your pencil, write this down. Number one, the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God will sanitize my thinking. Will sanitize my thinking. Somebody says, that church out there, that church just brainwashes people. Well, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of brains that need some washing. Amen? And that's what the Word of God does. Now, we got our Bibles. We're going to look at a bunch of verses. So we brought them. We might as well use them. Psalms 119 and verse number 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. Now, if you underscore verse in your Bible, this one ought to be underscored. This is a good verse to memorize. This should be on our list. Oh, by the way, it is on our list. Look at verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my what? Heart. The word heart in the Bible often refers to our mind, our way of thinking. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. I'm telling you, all sin begins in the mind. It's where it begins. It is the battle for my life and testimony, my spiritual victory or defeat. The battle for it is in my mind. That's where sin begins. And when I memorize the Word of God, when I commit it to memory, passages of Scripture, and I get that in my heart and mind, it has a cleansing effect. It has a sanitizing effect. The Word of God can cleanse and eliminate and deal with the sin before it ever gets beyond just being a thought. The power of God's Word. Jesus says, now are you clean through my Word. The Word of God has a sanitizing. In Genesis chapter 5, in verse number, Genesis chapter 6, in verse number 5, God is dealing with the world, and He's going to instruct Noah to build an ark. And the Bible says that it grieved the Lord that He had created man. Now, that's an amazing statement. And the reason it grieved the Lord that He had created man is because of this. Because their thoughts were continually on evil. Their thinking was constantly about sinful stuff. And so the Word of God can come in and cleanse and sanitize my mind and give me cleaner thoughts. Would you agree with me? We live in a society that is saturated with sin. Am I right or wrong? We were talking in the soul winning class. Nowadays, we can't assume that people know what sin is. We live in a society that is bombarding our eyes and our ears and our minds with sin. And that sin can take root and can get in our thoughts, and we need the Word of God to saturate it. When I memorize Scripture, I've found that I tend to think cleaner. My thoughts are cleaner when I get the Word of God in there. Not only are my thoughts cleaner, but my thoughts are clearer. If I can get the sinful thoughts out of my mind, those seeds of sin out of my mind, I can see and think clearly, a whole lot clearer about life and how to deal with situations. Sin makes people stupid. You'd think the more a person sins, the smarter they would get with that sin on dealing with it. But the exact opposite is, they get dumber with it. And sin makes us stupid. When I get the Word of God hidden in my heart and mind, I can sanitize my mind of that sin, and I can think a whole lot clearer. I put this down. Sin makes us stupid. Scripture gives us wisdom. So I want to get the Word of God in my heart. So you got that one written down? Number one, memorizing Scripture sanitizes my thinking. Number two, write this one down. Memorizing Scripture steadies my spirit. Steadies my spirit. Are you there in Psalms? Come over to chapter 94 of Psalms. Psalms 94 and verse number 19. A few pages back. We said, number one, memorizing Scripture sanitizes my thinking. It washes my brain. And we need that on a regular basis. And it steadies my spirit. Psalms 94, verse number 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Now, what do you think the psalmist is saying here when he says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me? What's going on in his head? The multitude of my thoughts within me. What? Confused could be part of it. I think this is what he's saying. My mind is racing. What's usually, when your mind is racing, man, it's just going on, what's usually true about your spirit? You're upset. Man, I'm stressed. Oh, man, I've got this and that and the other and just going on and on and on. Look what he says. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, my mind is racing. I've got all this going on. I'm just all upset and all this. Thy comforts delight my soul. Now, I got looking at that. It's interesting. The word delight, thy comforts delight my soul. The comforts are referring to the promises of God. Scriptural promises God has given. My mind is racing. The thoughts within me. Man, I've got this financial situation. I'm stressing out with the family. We fight all the way to church. I got finances and the job is a stress and you're laying in bed and your mind's just racing and racing and racing and thy comforts. And the Bible's telling us here, when I get God's promises, I get them in my heart and mind, they delight me. Now, I got looking at that word delight. That's an interesting word. Now, we think of delighting something as in, let's go get ice cream, delightful treat, you know, delight. Am I making an idiot out of myself or what up here? We think of delight as something, oh, that's delightful. The word delight here, actually, the first definition that comes when you look it up, means to massage. I looked at it, I kept looking at it, and it has the idea of calming down. My thoughts are racing within me, but your comforts, these promises you've given me to comfort me and help me, these promises in your word, have delighted, look what it says, delight my soul. They calm it down. They massage it. Oh, thank you. That feels better. And what they do is they steady our spirit, the promises of God's word. The idea of delighting, calming down, massaging, it has this idea. You've got a dog that's all worked up. How many people here have a dog? Anybody here ever been bit by a dog? I've been bit by a dog 6 times in the 20 years we've been here out soul winning. 6 times. That's once every 3 years, right? A little more than that. Once every 4 years about. And so I was down here off of Memorial Drive, but the other end of Memorial Drive. I walk up and guy's working on his car. I said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Leatham." I walk up, his big Doberman, not Doberman, a big German Shepherd comes out, right in my leg. Ah! I said, "Your dog bit me." He goes, "Yeah, he does that." Another guy out in Baird. I was out in Baird, knocking on Kathy was with me, and went in a little. Little dog bit me right in the calf. Man, 4 holes. And jump. Ah! And so we went and we went to the next door. Nobody was home there. I went next door and that dog was barking. She goes, "Don't pay attention to that dog. It just barks. It don't bite." I said, "Well, it barked pretty good on my leg there." You have a dog that's all worked up. Arr! And what does the owner do? He puts it, "Steady, boy, steady." Start pets its head. Calms it. He's massaging it. He's calming it down. He's settling it. And that's what God says His Word will do when we're all worked up. "Oh, I got this. How am I going to deal with that? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that?" I've got that scripture hidden in my heart. I've got it memorized. And those verses come to mind. Oh, yeah. Have faith in God. All things work together for good. That's right. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. And it just calms our spirit. Say, "All right, it's going to be all right. God's promised. His comforts delight my soul." And so, number one, memorizing Scripture sanitizes my thinking. We sure need that. Here's a sad thought. You know, the world influences our thinking more than God's Word does. And I'm not talking about just out in the workaday world. I mean, we sit down and we read the world's magazines. We look at the world's computer. We watch the world's TV. And it's just pumping this stuff in, pumping this stuff in, pumping this stuff in. At some point, we've got to get the Word of God in there and clean that thing out. So it sanitizes our thinking. Number two, it steadies our spirit. You know who I thought of when I thought about God's Word steadying a spirit that could really be worked up? I thought of Mary, Jesus' mother. Now think about that. The angel of God shows up to Mary and says, "The Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to be with child." How many of you ladies, if that was you, you'd freak out? What? I mean, just think of how you would respond to that. But read in the Gospels how Mary responded. You know what she did? Read her prayer. She quoted Scripture. Her whole response when she found out that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, she didn't stress out. She didn't get all worked. There wasn't a multitude of thoughts within her head. She simply started quoting Scripture. How can this be? What? And she started quoting Scripture. It's quoting Scripture, quoting Scripture. Then I thought about Joseph. Her husband-to-be, the stepfather, really, of Jesus. And he found out that she was going to have child. I wouldn't say he went nuts, but he did react. Right? He says, and in his thinking, he thinks, "I've got to put her away." Now, to his credit, he was a gentleman about it. He was very gracious about it. But he reacted. And you don't find Joseph quoting Scripture. And he was going to end this thing. He was going to shut it down. And God had to come and pray and say, "No, no, this is of the Lord. It's going to be fine." But you have one event that would be very upsetting by anyone's standards. The woman responds by quoting Scripture. Joseph responds by reacting and saying, "We need to do something." And the Word of God had a calming effect, a stabilizing effect on the spirit of Mary. We memorize Scripture, we get these promises in our heart and mind, and God can use them to comfort us and calm us down, and we don't get nearly as worked up. I put this down, number three. Are you getting these? Number one, stable. It sanitizes my thinking. Number two, it steadies my spirit. Write this one down. It strengthens my emotions. God created us as emotional beings. And I tell you, emotions are very, very powerful. People get their emotions worked up and they say things they really didn't mean to say. Am I right or wrong? Our emotions get worked up and we do things we wouldn't have done if we'd have been, if our emotions would have been a little bit stronger, if we could have kept them under control. And so God created us as emotional beings. And part of the challenge of living a victorious Christian life is keeping my emotions submissive to the Spirit of God. And when I memorize Scripture, it strengthens me in keeping my emotions yielded to the Holy Spirit, submissive to the Holy Spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Psalms 19. Now, many of us are very familiar with this passage, Psalms 19. A big portion of it is about the Word of God. Look at Psalms 19 and verse number 8. Psalms 19, 8. While you're turning there, I'll start reading verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now look at verse number 8 with me. The statutes of the Lord are right. What's that next word? Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Rejoicing the heart. It's addressing the emotions. Our emotions get all out of whack. I don't know why we're doing this. As I was studying this, the thought came to me. Bible verses are better than Valium. Anybody know what Valium is? You know, I'm just an emotional wreck. Now I'm not trying to mock anybody. And listen, if the doctor prescribes medication, you ought to listen to your doctor. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I am saying this. God's Word has a powerful, powerful effect on keeping our emotions in check. It is a powerful thing. It will rejoice the heart. The Bible promises that. And so when I memorize Scripture, it can help me be stronger emotionally. It can help me keep that emotions in check. God's Word has a strengthening effect upon our emotions. I thought about Elijah. Remember Elijah? He's on the Mount Carmel, and he has the challenge with the false prophets of Baal. God that answers by fire, and of course there the Baal didn't. Elijah, the true and living God, did. He killed the prophets of Baal. What did Jezebel do? I'm going to kill you. You killed my prophets. I'm going to kill you. And so he runs. He goes out of the wilderness. And Elijah goes into a fit of depression. And his emotions get carried away. And he's convinced he's the only one that knows God. He's the only one that's living for God. In fact, he gets to the point, I don't even want to live anymore. He has lost control of his emotions. Well, God comes, sends an angel and feeds him a little bit and tries to strengthen him. And then God does several things. He shows up, first of all, what was the first one? A whirlwind? Or was it the earthquake? Grant, you just graduated from Bible college. You should know that. God sends a whirlwind by, but God wasn't in the whirlwind. And God sends an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then what came? A little still small voice. And that little still small voice of God spoke to Elijah and brought him out of that fit of depression. And brought him out of that fit of discouragement. And I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that if we hide God's Word in our heart, it doesn't mean we're never going to have to deal with discouragement or even depression to some degree, but I'm telling you, it can sure help us face it and deal with it. And it can help us keep our emotions in check and keep us stronger in our walk with the Lord. Let me give you some suggested passage, and I know we got a lot of verses here, but hey, when you're worried, write this down, would you? When you're worried, read on Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Boy, what a good antidote for worry. When you're troubled, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You're afraid? Psalms 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will what? Trust in thee. Boy, what a good verse. It strengthens our emotions, brings those things in check. When I'm guilty, I did something wrong, and I'm dealing with the emotion of guilt. By the way, usually when we feel guilty, I found we usually are. I'm dealing with guilt. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I'm overwhelmed, 2 Corinthians 12:9. When I am weak, He is strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. When I'm depressed, actually, you can go to almost any passage in the book of Psalms. I put Psalms 42 down. When I'm irritable, I know that never affects anyone here. Romans 12, verse 17 through 21. Overcome evil with good. When I'm irritable, what I'm saying is this, and you could just go down the list. God has a passage, God has a principle, God has a precept for every emotional aspect of our lives. And when I get God's Word in my heart and life, I can keep those emotions. I'm just going to shut this off, Dave, and work off the pulpit here. I don't know what... It's up on my end up here. It's my electric personality keeps interfering with the sound system there. God's Word promotes emotional strength. All right, there we go. Number four, write this down. Let me give you these real quick. Not only does it... memorizing Scripture sanitize my thinking, steady my spirit, strengthen my emotions. Number four, it speeds up my spiritual growth. Now, I'm not going to have you turn there, but write this passage down. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I'm going to make a dogmatic statement. A Christian cannot grow spiritually without the Word of God. It's not going to happen. You can read all the self-help books you want. You can watch all the Oprah Winfrey interviews you want. You're not going to grow spiritually without the Word of God. And when I take God's Word and I put it into my heart and mind and it dwells in my heart and soul richly, boy, then I start growing. Then I start growing. Now, I'm not a dietitian. But I'm convinced the better a baby's diet is, the quicker that baby's going to develop. The better that baby's diet is, the more thorough that baby's going to develop. Its eyesight's going to be better. Its sense of smell is going to be better. Its muscles are going to grow stronger. The better that child's diet is, the better that thing develops physically. And that is true for us spiritually. The more we get the Word of God into our hearts and minds, the stronger we will grow. More, I think it speeds up our spiritual growth. I got an article here. I read it on Fox News several months ago, maybe 2 months ago. The headline was this. I printed it out and just been holding on to it. The headline was this. A woman who never aged dies at age 20. Let me read it to you. It's just short. Brooke Greenberg weighs 16 pounds, stands 2 feet 6 inches tall. She cannot walk or talk, but doctors hope she may be the key to the fountain of youth. Brooke Greenberg of Reisterstown, Maryland, looked and behaved like a toddler until her last breath. She was diagnosed by her physician with Syndrome X, an unidentifiable and unexplained rare disease. Is known to affect only 6 people in the world, but they do not age physically or mentally from early childhood. They go on. While the outside world may have noticed Brooke's physical stature and been puzzled by her unique development state,
She brought love and joy to her family. Her parents, three sisters, and extended family showered her with love and respected her dignity through her entire life. They said that Brooke could not talk, she had baby teeth, and still had to be pushed in a stroller. From age 1 to 4, Brooke changed. She got a little bit bigger, but by age 4 and 5, she stopped growing, stopped developing. 20-year-old woman, that's 4 years old, developmentally. You know, I've met a lot of Christians. They've been Christians a long time. But developmentally, spiritually, they're just little babes. Just little babes. And I tell you what will help us grow as individuals and as a church is when we start feeding on the Word of God. And we get the promises and principles of God's Word, ingest them into our heart and mind, and they dwell in us richly. We'll see God start giving us growth. We'll see our spiritual faith developing. We'll see where we can start trusting God in ways we never trust Him for. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, it will develop us. I like the story. A little girl went to bed, and her mom was out in the kitchen. She heard this thump. And she said, what in the world? She went running back, and here the little girl was laying on the floor, and she was getting herself up. She said, sweetheart, you fell out of bed. What in the world happened? And the little girl said, I stayed too close to where I got in. You know, that's what happens when we don't get the Word of God in us. We stay too close to where we were when we first got saved, never grow, and never get the Word of God in us, and we never develop. And we can be I'm 53. We'll say a 53-year-old Christian that's really only 2 or 3 years old spiritually. And so the Word of God will help us grow. What was that? Number 4? Let me give you number 5 real quick. The Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, will sweeten our home life. Sweeten our home life. Boy, we could use a dose of that, couldn't we? Turn with me back to Deuteronomy. I want you to look at this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, while you're writing it down, let me give you this to you. Number 1, it sanitizes my thinking. It steadies my spirit, strengthens my emotions, speeds up my spiritual growth. And number 5, sweetens my home life. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 6. Now, this is God's instructions to Israel. They're going to go through a rough time. They've got to go over into the promised land. They're going to have some battles going on. There's going to be a lot of issues. And if they let that get into their home life and they start fussing and the home life deteriorates and there gets bitterness there and anger and even hatred in the home life, boy, their society is going to have a rough time. By the way, society, the health of society is very much dependent upon the health of the home. And so God gives some instructions to them to keep that home settled, to keep that home sweet, so that society doesn't collapse. And look what he says in verse number 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. What's he telling them to do? These words shall be what? Memorized. You could write in the margin of your Bible, memorize. Why should we do that? Look what he says. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What's he saying? He's telling them you need to say these things over and over and over in your home, when you're getting up, when you're going to bed, when you're eating meal. Say them over and over and over with your kids. What's he telling them to do? Memorize them. Memorize them. Get them in your heart. Say it over and over and over. I tell you one of the neatest things. Come back in the fellowship hall, and there's people back there with their Bible. You've got to say this, and for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And little kids there, and moms listening to their kids. Say it again. You don't have it right. Say it again. And it's just sweet as can be. But that's what he's telling them to do. Now look at verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And he goes on. He's telling them, listen, you've got to get the Word of God into your home, into the hearts and minds of the members of that home. You're going to go into a hostile environment. You're going to be in battle. You're going to have stresses and all this stuff. And you've got to keep that home sweet. And the way you keep it sweet is by getting the Word of God in there. Memorizing the Word of God. That's that whole passage here. Listen to Psalms 119, verse 65. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Tell you what, people in the homes get offended. Wives get offended by the husband. Husband gets offended by something the wife does. The kids are offended by what the parents do. Parents are offended by the kids. Tell you what, you get the Word of God in there and start memorizing that and love that book. And that's going to do away with a lot of this offense that we get. And it's going to calm that down. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. When you get the Word of God in your heart and life, suddenly there's a little more peace in the home. It's a little more peace in that marriage. A little more peace among siblings. It sweetens the home. The home is more peaceful. There's less offense in the home. There's less arguing in the home. God's Word has a profound effect upon producing a happy home. Number six, write this one down. It secures my confidence. It secures my confidence. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 50, verse 4. Let me just turn there quick for sake of time. Give you a chance to write that down while I'm turning here. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 4. Listen to what the Bible says. The Lord thy God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know what Isaiah is saying here? He's saying, I've got God's Word in my heart and mind. I have the tongue of the learned. I know the Scriptures. And I know what to say. I'm able to say things to people to help them. When I memorize Scripture, I'm more confident in my witness. I have a greater ability to help others. Listen to what they said about Job. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. Job knew the Word of God, what was available to him then. Job knew the Word of God. And he knew what to say to folks when they were hurting. He knew what to say to folks to help them in different situations. Why? Because he had the Word of God available in his heart and mind. And when we memorize Scripture, we'll be able to be much more confident in helping others and witnessing and giving direction in people's lives. Sometimes somebody comes to you at work and says, man, I've got this mess. I don't know what to do. And you say, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know. Wouldn't it be far greater to have some Scripture verses right there at your tip and say, well, let me tell you what God's Word says. Well, listen to this Bible verse. Listen to this promise of God. Man, how much more confident we could be. We don't have to say, I don't know what to tell you. We could say, here's what God says. When we have God's Word memorized and hidden in our heart. Fanny Crosby, we all know her, blind in his infancy. They say she developed, because of her blindness, perhaps she developed an amazing memory. And she memorized vast segments of Scripture, huge portions of Scripture. She just instant recall. She said when she would want to read her Bible for devotion, she would just in her mind go to a certain passage, certain chapter, and she could quote that passage just like she was opening up a book in her brain and reading it in her mind. She could quote that. You know what? Because of that, you know what she did? She wrote nearly 9,000 hymns. Solid Bible-based hymns that have been used by God to be a blessing and a help to people, millions of people, for 100 years or more. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You can't sing her hymns and not have your heart stirred. She memorized Scripture. She memorized Scripture. Let me give you the last one here real quickly. What did we say? Number one, sanitizes my thinking. Number two, it steadies my spirit. Number three, it strengthens my emotions. It speeds up my spiritual growth. Sweetens my home life. Secures my confidence. And last of all, it's a source of optimism. When I memorize Scripture, I've got a well to go to have an optimistic spirit. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't it great having that passage in your mind? It's not like something comes up and it's kind of discouraging and it really messes my plans up. And I think, you know, I think there's a verse somewhere in the Bible about something that might have something to do with this. There's no source of optimism in that. But when I've got these passages in my heart and mind, and that situation comes up, I have a well of promises from God's Word that I can draw from, and I can say, you know, there's no reason to be optimistic in this, or there's no reason to be pessimistic in this situation. I can be optimistic here. Of all people, Christians should be optimistic. Think about living in this world without Christ. What is there optimistic about living in a world that all it is the physical, all it is the temporal, and then you die and in their minds you cease to exist? There's nothing optimistic about that. But those of us that know Christ, we understand there's a God in control. There's a God that has the power and ability to change circumstances. When it's all said and done, I've got an eternal home in heaven. And when I get God's Word saturated into my heart and it dwells in me richly, I have this great well. When I see things going on in the world and I see circumstance situations, I can go to this well and draw up optimism. Hey, I'm not saying if you memorize Scripture, you'll be optimistic. I'm not saying that. That's a choice you and I make. But I am saying when I memorize Scripture, I have a source of optimism. I have a foundation for my optimism. I have a framework that I can be optimistic because I have these promises of God readily at my mind, and I can claim them and hold on to them and go forward with these promises very clear in my heart and mind. And I have no reason to be so negative. I have no reason to be so helpless, hopeless. But I have a God in heaven that loves me and has given me these promises, that cares for me, is working it in my life and directing me. Simply memorizing Scripture won't automatically make me optimistic. That's a decision I have to make, but it gives me the framework for being optimistic. As we memorize Scripture, the Holy Spirit molds our thinking. That Scripture gets in there and it starts changing the way I think. I start being transformed because my mind is being renewed. And suddenly I see greater joy in my life. There's a greater confidence in my spiritual walk. I have a clearer purpose in life because God's Word is having a profound effect on my soul. 7 benefits of memorizing Scripture. Let's apply ourselves to this. Now, I'll just throw this out. Crowd here, I think we understand it. Simply memorizing verses isn't going to save a person. It's going to take them to heaven. A lot of people burned in hell and had a lot of Scripture memorized. I've got to trust Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. But once I do that, then I get that Word of Christ dwelling richly in me. Get as many verses memorized in my heart and soul as I possibly can. And God starts working. My life is clearer. My purpose is clearer. And the joy of the Lord is there. There's confidence. Father, help us, Lord, to apply ourselves to this. It's not easy, but oh, Lord, it's so important. And I pray this coming year would be a year of tremendous spiritual growth for us in our homes, in our personal lives, in our church. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I really want to give myself to this. I want to take God's Word. I want to take this challenge very seriously. And I want to apply myself to getting God's Word to dwell in me richly." How many like that by the uplifted hand? "Preacher, I want to pray that that's true in my life." God bless you. Hands all around. Now, here's the great thing. You say, "Preacher, that's hard. I know it. But if we ask God, He'll help us. He'll help us." And let's ask the Lord to help us do this. Father, bless now our invitation time, I ask in Jesus' name. Let's